I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, March 7th, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You better this week than you were last week?
I'm a little better. Still, you know, still a little raspy. Still feeling a bit like death, but, you know, I'm here.
Yeah, everybody's suffering from a cold as of late.
It's horrible. It's been going around, and I've heard about it, and I thought I had escaped it, but I couldn't be that lucky, apparently.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to the gym all week, so I'm feeling a little... I think that probably adds to the depression and all the other crap that I'm feeling.
Yeah. Well, you're better than Nancy Reagan, I guess, right? You're alive, at least.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. I'm better than her.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, we, you know, heard yesterday morning.
Yeah.
I guess it would be that she has passed away.
Yeah, and I'm someone who liked Mrs. Reagan. I admired her for the work that she did in terms of stem cell research advocacy of course, the way that she cared for President Reagan in his dying years as he suffered from Alzheimer's.
I thought you were going to say her work with the war on drugs.
Well, we'll talk about that in a sec, but I mean, at the same time, people on Twitter were saying, well, let's not forget that the war on drugs failed, that during the AIDS crisis, she turned her back on friends. So,
yes.
I mean, and then there were some people who also said, hey, the woman just died, let's give her. But I mean, you know, she, as a public figure, I think she's entitled to criticism because she's the same person, you know, when she was alive as when she's dead, right?
Right.
She didn't, at the end of her life, she didn't say, oh, I'm sorry I did that, because I doubt that she did.
Of course not. I'm going to die soon, so.
Yeah, so I think she's entitled to criticism, just as I mean. But I mean, there is that question, though, when is it appropriate, to speak ill of the dead? And I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's okay to do, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, unless someone was murdered or, you know, they went missing. And then we say, well, because they went missing because of this, and they deserved it. And that sort of stuff, I think, is inappropriate, regardless of the person. But I think when you criticize them about on the war on drugs, just say no. Or on how she treated Rock Hudson, her friend who had AIDS.
Right.
You know, I think that's fine. I think that that's fair game, if you will.
I guess, it is what it is. It is the truth.
I mean, if you drop dead tomorrow, I mean, and then people start trashing you. I mean,
yeah, what kind of shit are you going to have to say about me? I don't know.
Not me, but I mean, would you expect that?
There might be others.
Yeah, but I mean, would you expect that? Would you, I mean...
You know what? Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
I'd expect it. I mean, I don't think I'm that special that people are, you know, have trash to talk about me as soon as I die, but, you know...
But I would feel bad that if I dropped dead and people said, you know, well, he wasn't a great person.
I'd wait at least a month.
See, no, but the thing is, I think it would hurt my loved ones regardless of whether it's an hour after I died or a month after I died.
Yeah, it probably would hurt them. But if they don't hear it, you know, can we still talk about you, like, after a month or so?
That's true, yeah.
Would that be fine? I would think so. It's a month, maybe 3 months. It really depends.
Yeah, there was one note that I think that bears mentioning, and that's that the war on drugs did result in the incarceration of a lot of otherwise innocent people.
Oh,
or the over-incarceration of certain people, certainly.
It filled up the jails.
Yeah, certain races, of course.
Right.
And I think that should be noted because she was the public face of that failed campaign on, you know, against drugs.
Yeah, I can say that. I can definitely say that about her. She was, I don't know where she got her research from to put this war on drugs in effect, but it was a mess, and it's still proven to be a mess today, and the effects are still... very apparent today.
But it's still the fundamental idea of saying no to drugs. I mean, you shouldn't tell your kids that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I just told them that today.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You should say no to drugs. We won't we won't get into them with, you know, what drugs to and not to and to say no to, but just, right now it's just say no to all drugs.
Yeah, and until they're old enough to decide.
Right,
know, at
exactly.
18, say, or whatever.
Yes.
The I remember growing up, you know, seeing her on Different Strokes with Gary Coleman.
I think I vaguely remember that episode.
It's actually an interesting show because I guess Gary Coleman's character Arnold, he was an aspiring journalist, and so he was on the school newspaper. And we're talking elementary school here. This isn't high school. Plus, he
like way back. Yeah,
and plus he's a short guy too. So it was elementary school, and he found out that there was drugs being sold in the school, and the principal, of course, denies it because he doesn't want, you know, the attention that there's drugs in a school.
Right.
And teachers didn't know what was going on. They're kind of clueless, and so Arnold gets in trouble about this story. And so Mrs. Reagan, who's in town, I guess, finds out about this, and Arnold's about to get punished, and she saves him from getting punished because it was a true story.
Thank God for Nancy.
And and so she comes in the school, gives her little speech, you know, and all the kids, you know, admit that they know of people.
We all know someone that sells drugs.
Yeah. But you know, so the one example, the kids ask questions of Mrs. Reagan, and so the one kid says, "I heard that pot or marijuana or whatever they called it is not as bad as the other drugs," and then she said, she didn't answer whether it was right or wrong or whether it was worse or less worse or whatever.
Good job, Nancy.
Yeah, she said, but she knew of a kid who was addicted to pot. So addicted to pot that he resorted to stealing and then beating up his sister because she wouldn't steal for his addiction.
That was not pot. That kid would not have that kind of energy for that shit. He was on something else.
Yeah,
Nancy got that mixed up. I don't know if salvia was available back then, but maybe that's what it was.
Well, it's worth going to. I guess you can see it on YouTube.
I think I might have to look that up, actually, because that sounds pretty funny.
It was one of those very special episodes. You remember those?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
there was one on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I think, like, almost every major, like, you know, teen show has done a drug special.
Yeah, or you made another Different Strokes very special episode was the one with the guy from WKRP, and he was a molester.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He touched somebody inappropriately, right?
Yeah, and it was Arnold's friend, and Arnold needed to, you know, he needed to figure out what was going on, and you know.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, see? And so, I mean, you know, these are
they're good life lessons.
And unfortunately, that's how people learn these things, you know.
It's true. No, it is. It's like, they seem corny after the fact, but sometimes that's our only experience with these things.
Yeah,
thankfully.
Yeah, and Different Strokes was in the 80s. What we grew up with in our era in the 90s would be Full House, right?
Oh, yes, Full House. We watched that with, well, it was, it, I think it, at some point it came on like every day of the week, but it was pretty much like a Friday.
Yeah, TGIF.
TGIF special.
Yeah, and I guess there were those sort of episodes where they got serious, something happened, and
of course.
Someone died maybe, or...
Was there ever a drug episode on Full House?
I can't remember, but
I can't.
But I mean, the show started with the Bob Saget character's wife dying.
Yes.
And so the kids had to deal with the loss of a parent, which is what I guess is the premise of this new show.
Yeah. So have you finally gotten to watch any of that?
Yeah. So after last week's show, you said to watch it. So I watched the first episode and then I guess half of the second episode. And I didn't stop it because I didn't like it. It just had other stuff to do.
Right.
And I wasn't able to finish it. I'll finish it eventually. It's on my Netflix.
Good.
Yeah. The first episode, I mean, you know, you get reminded of all these characters and, of course, the set.
Right. And isn't it, like, weird? You're kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember this. So weird.
Kind of, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's still the same show, you know, it's the same character, so you're familiar with all these people, and you remember all the corniness, all the
yeah,
you know.
Exactly, that's it, the corniness, all those things that are, like, so irrelevant today and apparently very uncool, according to Simone. So,
well, she'd be the same age, your eldest daughter, that we were when this show was on, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, like, the day it came out, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Back to back, right? And she came in about midway and started watching with me. And she, really, the only thing that she relates to are the kids,
yeah.
Naturally. Just like when we were younger, that's what we related to were the kids, right? Now we're interested in all the love story drama
yeah.
of the older ones. And I have to admit, though, the kids are pretty funny, too.
Yeah, not the oldest kid, but the middle kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very good actor.
Isn't he hilarious?
Yeah.
He's just the cutest little thing.
Yeah, I did the older. I mean, the older kid is fine.
The Kimmy
Gibbler kid's kind of
annoying.
Yeah,
just like Kimmy.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
not
even a personality in her. I don't think.
No, she doesn't.
I mean, the mom takes all that up, I guess, right?
She still bothers me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still pretty cool. I just like you know. It's the nostalgia that goes with it. Like I said, not going to win any awards or anything, but it's definitely fun to watch.
So you've watched all of them. Now, in the second episode, the older people, like the Bob Saget, the John Stamos, they're not there.
No.
Do they come back, obviously. Is that right?
They'll make appearances.
Yeah. But the show really is just the DJ character, which is played by Candace Cameron,
yeah.
and her sister, and... It's just the three girls now, I guess, right?
Yeah, and Kimmy, and her kids, and DJ's kids, and Steve, her ex-boyfriend, makes an appearance. He comes back, and it's just so much fun. I mean, that's really the most exciting part for me is like all the old characters that come back, and you know, Steve was always a funny guy.
Yeah, but the as you know, the reviews have been quite bad.
They have been.
And apparently John Stamos went on the Seth Meyers show
uh-huh.
and was reading some of them out loud, which I think was made the thing go viral.
Right.
My favorite line was from the Washington Post, was where the writer said that there's a line between nostalgia and necrophilia, and the show Fuller House has crossed that.
Yeah, it may have.
Yeah,
and again, it totally depends on the viewer. I like I said, not going to win any awards, but it's just because it holds a special place in some of our hearts is why it's so special to us.
But doesn't it ruin it though? I mean, some shows when they do that, I mean, it just ruins it. You know, it ruins the memory of the old days.
Some of them do. You know, honestly, I wasn't when I first heard of the reboot.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever, I totally didn't even care. I didn't think I'd even watch it. But honestly, I started first, second, third episode, and then I couldn't stop watching.
Huh.
And Stephanie, or I guess Jodie Sweetin,
yeah.
She's hilarious. She's so funny. So it's kind of funny to see what they've done with these characters that we've known for so long and seen in a different time and age, too, you know, like the topics of discussion, the things that are of concern now in these shows are way more controversial, a lot more different than the things that were going on back in the, you know, 90s when we were watching.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Michelle's not making friends at school, boo-hoo, you know, come on. They're not talking about that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's fun. Although Michelle wasn't even on the show.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I found too cute by half was it was all these the breaking of the third wall or fourth wall, I guess, and everyone looked into the camera and things. I found that a little too much.
Was that I know that kind of bothered me. It's like okay, let's get over it. They're done. We already know that.
But I'd like to see out of that TGIF lineup, Urkel. I'd like to see that show again.
Oh yeah!
And then Perfect Strangers was one of my favorites.
Oh, I would love to see Perfect Strangers come back. That could be redone, definitely.
Balky and Cousin Larry.
Yeah. That could be definitely redone. That would be a good one.
The speaking of nostalgia, the people were in this country, at least last night, were a lot of people were watching 60 Minutes because Justin Trudeau was profiled on there, and they used a photo of Pierre Trudeau, who, after he divorced Margaret Trudeau, had dated a lot of women, Barbara Streisand and Margot Kidder, I think, and Leona Boyd. They had long-standing friends. And so at one point he dated Kim Cattrall.
Oh.
And so the 60 Minutes had a picture of Trudeau and Kim Cattrall and identified Cattrall as Margaret Trudeau.
Oh, my
God. But I mean, again, it's nostalgia. We remember Pierre Elliott Trudeau. But, I mean, a lot of people watched that last night. I mean, Canadians certainly did because the Prime Minister was... yeah, the Prime Minister's being profiled.
Right. And I'm so sad that I missed that.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either because a lot of people are tweeting about it, so I think I got most of it off of the Twitter, but...
Off the Twitter.
Yeah.
The Twitter. Yeah, no, I missed it myself, so I'm going to have to look that up, but I'm sure it was a great interview. I heard he was just in Whistler, actually, last week.
Yeah, he was in town for the First Minister's Conference here in Vancouver, and then last weekend, I guess, was hanging out in Whistler. And then he goes to Washington for the state dinner with President Obama.
Right.
And
what a life.
Well, it's a job, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Comes with the territory.
I was watching Downton Abbey last night. You don't watch that show, do you?
I don't, but please tell me about it because I'm curious to know what the allure is here. I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, and I have been for about 5 years or 6 years or however long it's been. Actually, I missed the first year. And then
how long has it been on?
It's about 6 years, I think, six or seven. And but the first year it aired on PBS and it did well, and then it just exploded in the second, third, fourth, fifth year, and then it's the most popular thing on PBS, and if there isn't a zombie show on the other channel, people are watching on Sunday nights. They're watching Downton Abbey, and it's I guess some of the women I talk to like it because of the costumes. I like it because it's you know, it's English,
right?
And this is some of it can be quite funny. There's obviously drama, there's death and murder and those sorts of things in it. But you know, the writing is very sharp, and this finale reminds, I think, a lot of viewers just how sharp the writing was. And it's usually, you know, just a throwaway, very quick-witted, funny line.
Right.
And that just makes a show, and that's, I guess, what made it a hit for so long.
I have to check it out.
But I guess you have to be you have to like sort of English television to like it, I guess, you know?
I think, well, you know, I'd have to actually see it.
Yeah, there's no zombies, there's no...
I don't care much for the zombies anyway.
Yeah, or that sort of not vampires, but you know, the sort of action-y things in it. I mean, I guess the First World War happens in the second season, but generally, it's about class. It's about, you know, those sorts of things, and that's become PBS's most successful show ever. I mean, that's bigger than Upstairs Downstairs was in the 70s or Brideshead Revisited in the 80s. And yeah, and it's a show that Americans really came to like. And so I guess I was very sorry to see it go last night. And you know,
is that the series finale?
Yeah, the series finale.
So forever?
Well, there's talk about doing a movie, and
well, that's not the same. But how do they just end a show like that? See, this is why. Like, I think I told you, like, this is why I don't get into committed relationships with TV shows.
Well, but English shows are generally, I mean, you think of Brideshead Revisited, that was only a year. And, you know, it was 28 parts or whatever it was. But, I mean, English dramas usually are very short lifespans. They're 3-4 years. I mean,
not Coronation Street.
No, but that's a daily thing.
God, you know, that's been on forever. But still, I can't. It's too much. You get so into a show.
Yeah, but you know that it's going to end. That's the other thing. I mean, you knew when the show started before the First World War that it was going to end probably sometime in the 20s. And I think we expected it. I mean, we're sorry that it's gone, and we're sorry that they're not going to be back. But I think we sort of knew that this was not going to last forever. And I think, I mean, you look at the British Office or say Helen Mirren show. I mean, that was a very short lifespan. And I think they do television better than the Americans in that. Like, one season on Downton Abbey was 6 episodes. And then that's it. 6 or 7 episodes, and then that's it.
Ooh.
And I think that's why it was such a big hit, because there was so little of it. And I think that's why people went in week after week.
Right.
PBS has never seen the ratings that high ever. You know, the millions and millions of people watching PBS on a Sunday night rather than, you know.
Well, see, I know that it's over, I'll probably get into it.
Yeah, you can get it on the Netflix, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm gonna check that out. Because I've never actually watched an episode. Not even once.
No. Well, you like other British things, don't you?
Yeah, I watch a lot of their, like, comedy.
Yeah. Like Fawlty Towers was only 2 seasons, I think?
Probably inappropriate, but...
Yeah.
But yes, I do.
Yeah. So the other thing that's worth discussing, I guess, is about a couple weeks ago, I was at lunch with some friends, mm-hmm. and they had a child, and we go into the restaurant, and I guess they wanted a seat for the child, a booster seat, which is not an unreasonable request, but this particular restaurant said, no, we don't have booster seats.
Mm.
We can give you... I guess a box or some other thing, you know.
A box.
Well, not a box, but I don't think it was a box. It was something else.
Okay.
And they said no. The parents said no, and it was fine. But I mean, I guess I don't know. Should we expect restaurants to have these things for children? You have 2 kids. I don't have kids, so it doesn't matter to me. But
yeah, no, my kids are a little older now, so it's not something that I really deal with anymore. But when they were younger, when I did go out, and I don't know, maybe it's because I take transit, but I either always had them in the stroller or they would just sit on my lap.
Yeah.
Right? Most times when I went to restaurants, I honestly would never even think to ask for a booster seat. Most times, I don't know why.
Would they just bring it to you? Is that the...
Well, most times they would either offer it to me or, yeah, they would, bring one. But for the most part, it was either my lap or just in their stroller.
Yeah, this wasn't a fancy place. I mean, this didn't have tablecloths. But I guess the clientele is not that...
Not a lot of kids.
Who would have kids, yeah. I guess there's a difference between, I guess, what they call family restaurants, and this was obviously not one.
No, I can appreciate that. I know it sucks for some, because obviously they bring their babies out, and they would like to have a seat, be able to eat their meals without their kids in their lap, but, you know...
Yeah,
say you must learn to multitask as a parent.
But the other thing, if the child needed changing, which this child didn't, there would be no. I went to the bathroom once, but I don't recall there being, a change table.
Yeah,
or anything
there, and
like
there
that.
May not be.
So, I mean, what do you do at that point? You just go to your car and change them there. I guess
stroller.
So. Yeah.
Stroller for everything. And again, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't drive, right? And I wasn't, for a while I was driving when I had Simone, but with my youngest, I was just straight transit and stroller. So, yeah, if we did go somewhere and they didn't have a change table or something, she was getting changed in the stroller. You just learn to adapt.
How old, by the way, can you have until the kid actually can sit in the chair? 4? Or is that...
Depends on how in control they are.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little out of control. They need to be put in a seat for a while.
Because I'm thinking if you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at a restaurant like that, I don't think they'd want you running around or...
No, by that age...
And I don't think they could sit down because they'd just be too... wanting to get up and...
I mean, we've been out together with my little one. She can be a bit... she gets a little antsy after a while. She's good for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
And that should be the general amount of time for a lunch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not say, 2 hours hovering over an iPad looking at Instagram or which I see moms do, or I shouldn't say moms, but I mean, I see parents do that at coffee shops and things like that.
I've seen that. I'm not into it.
Play dates and things like that.
Not into it when the kids ask me if they can bring the iPad out to dinner or out to a lunch or something. No, that's just rude. We can do that at home, but let's try and keep that that at home.
Yeah, I was at a Starbucks and I was waiting to go somewhere, and so that's why I was killing time in a Starbucks. And this group of people had children with them, various ages, but then the one that was, I guess, 2 or 3, you know, running around the Starbucks, you know, bumping into people and the sort, and then was grabbing things out of the display, which is, you know, in the middle of the floor, you know, cookies or whatever, and pocketing them, and not even...
Oh, my God!
Not knowing that they weren't supposed to take it. It's not like the kid was a thief. I mean,
really?
the kid was a thief, but I mean...
You don't think he didn't know that?
No, I don't think... No.
Give me a break. How old did he look?
He was 2 or 3. I don't think he was talking. He was just like, yeah, blah, 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 like that.
Yeah.
You know? But,
So clearly those parents did not have him in control.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware.
But I mean, this is why I know the kid wasn't sinning, because the kid was taking the little cups. You know, I guess the kids are served, they're not drinking coffee, I guess, at that age. But
who knows?
Hot chocolate or whatever.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, so they're drinking their hot in the little kid's cup size or whatever.
Right.
Kid's size cup. And the kid was taking it and then putting it in the same shelf. So, and I don't know. I don't think they returned the cookie that the kids stole, the packaged cookie, but anyway.
Oh, they'll see it when they get home.
Just an observation of children in public life.
Kids are crazy in public. You got to give them that little warning sometimes before you take them outside.
I guess I only make a point of mentioning these things because I don't remember my own childhood being like this. You know what I mean? I don't remember... Because the kid was actually, at one point, was running around bumping. Like, I, you know, was bumped into me. You know, I was sitting there and chatting with whoever was waiting
for me.
Oh, Lord,
if I could tell you. There's a lot of things I see that I just don't comment on, especially with kids. I don't want to, I'm never one to tell anybody how to raise their kids.
Yeah.
Do I judge silently? Absolutely. But I won't tell you how to raise your kids. But I was, downtown this weekend, and there was this kid in the Choices Market screaming like Bloody Mary for at least a good 10 straight minutes.
Yeah.
And now remember, I still have been suffering with this flu. So aside from the fact that my ears were a bit plugged, this kid, his screaming was just relentless. And his dad was just not, like, he was not doing anything to try and stop it. And I couldn't understand. It's like, you're in public. Please get a hold of your child. Please control that. Like, I understand. I have kids.
Yeah, but what, I mean, what about the other thing? Because I've talked to people about this. What if the kid is autistic or something like that and they can't help it, or they, you know what I mean? And the parents can't control them because of that.
Well, that's one thing.
I mean, but at some point, you don't know the difference. You mean, because the kid could be...
Well, no, this kid was just spazzing out because he had a cart.
Yeah.
And his dad was putting his backpack in his little shopping cart. You know, like little shopping carts that the kids can get. Well, he had a backpack. I guess he was just coming from daycare, and his dad was putting the backpack in the cart, and he didn't like that, so he was losing his mind.
By the way, in our day, we didn't have little shopping carts. I don't remember that.
No, we didn't have those things to preoccupy us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. If we were, when we were kids, if we're going in the store, it's, you need to just keep your mouth shut and act accordingly in public, right? Regardless of having your own cart.
Yeah.
You just had to do the right thing. Either way, this kid had a little sister. His sister was with him. I think they were twins, actually. And she was fine. She was laughing at him. And she was like, "You're just making all this noise." And I completely agreed with her. I mean, they were maybe like 4 or 5 years old, but she knew. She knew what was up. She knew what he was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
And it was just the fact, like, it's clear that I'm not a doctor, but he didn't look like he had any issues.
Hmm.
He was pissed off that his dad was trying to put his backpack in his cart, and he wasn't having it. And it turned into a nightmare.
Yeah.
Those in the restaurant, I mean, that's... But again, I have children. I'm far past that now.
Yeah.
I block those things out.
Well, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, next week will be another day, another great conversation. That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, March 7th, 2016.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.